The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me. It's an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Big Dog Wolf Wolf McElroy. What's up, Trav Nation?
What's up, Trav Nation, and happy Honda Days. It's me, your sweet baby elf, a little stinker elf here to create some Christmas mischief, Griffin McElroy.
What? Oh, okay. What kind
Sorry,
of
one more time, Griff?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's me. It's Hey, Trav
no,
Nation.
No, just the
happy
Thank
Honda
you.
Days. It's me, your sweet baby elf. A Christmas elf here to cause Christmas mischief, Griffin McElroy.
What kind of Christmas mischief do you have planned?
I needed all the candy canes.
Well, that's going to hurt your tummy.
It did. It hurted it so bad, burning too much peppermint, burning it up. But how else am I going to do Christmas mischief? Smash all the gingerbread houses?
Hey, I want to talk about Christmas Carol for a second.
Yeah, oh, which really? One?
No, it's just like the general concept.
All right, cool.
The show or the carol, like the singing, the idea of singing?
No, the book, the story.
The book, okay.
The story, yeah. The book.
How long do you think
I'm playing Scrooge tonight, you see.
Oh, this will be great.
You're Scrooging?
Tonight, I will be the Scrooge.
Nice,
this
dude.
Is great then, yeah. Justin, because you
at Huntington City Hall tonight, I will be the Scrooge.
The thing I've always wondered about, how long do you think it sticks?
Yeah. This is a great topic of conversation. How long does he stay good? Do you think he makes it to next Christmas? Do you think he makes it to New Year? Do you think there's a scene if that movie or play or book or whatever that keeps on going December 31st and his nephew's like, hey, it's been so fun partying with you for six straight days. Do you want to come over for New Year's tonight and stay up past midnight? And Scrooge is going to be like, I'm burnt out, man. I have to take a break.
I think there's a reason that every single version of Christmas Carol you see, the one thing that they won't do is make it to Fred's party later that Christmas
mm-hmm.
day.
Yes.
You don't see, because I think Scrooge makes it to dinner before he's like, fucking hell, man. These people are all there's so many.
There's so many people. I also just gave away a lot of money. Forgave a lot of debt. I promised Cratchit a rate. Like, that's
my business
enough,
is ruined.
Right?
My business is ruined.
I'm ruined.
Also, I think the second.
The minister's cat is go ahead, Uncle Scrooge. I'm ruined.
I can't.
I'm ruined.
I have nothing.
I have nothing.
I think
are
the first
there
time,
poorhouses and workhouses and stuff? Because I need to go. I need
send
to go
me to
one.
Them.
Yes.
That's funny. I never thought for me.
He shows up the next day at the crash. He's like, listen, Bob, I know I talked a big game about helping get Tiny Tim well, and I would love to hit you back on that, but I am bereft, my man. I gave it all away. I got nothing.
I spent your son's legs medicine money on big turkey money, and now I can't do it anymore.
You guys like that turkey? That turkey was great, though, right?
Great turkey, though, right? Filled his belly up.
Do you have any of that left? Because I am feeling a mite peckish.
I'll drink a broth of the bones, Bob. I have nothing.
Anything I've given, you got, man.
These ghosts have taken everything from me.
I could be your son. I'm better than Tiny Tim. I'll arm wrestle that motherfucker.
I'll be your new son. I know how to change myself.
Ebby Cratchit, they'll call me.
Yeah? Ebby sweet Ebby, the 85-year-old son of Bob Cratchit.
What's that? You don't want someone that communes with ghosts? I understand. This is a very superstitious era.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's, oh, you're burning me. It. I'm being burned.
Oh, okay. Being burned. Yeah.
I am being burned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fair.
There's also no scene in the show where Ebenezer Scrooge, like, comes up to someone and is like, "What's up? Take this little ham. I'm good now." And the person's like, "Actually, still fuck you, though.
Yeah.
Like, you really have been a monster for a long time." I think someone puts up a little bit of resistance to Scrooge's kind of transformation, and he's going to be like, "Wait a minute, what? This isn't some- what? You didn't hear the thing about where the ghosts turned me good?
Here's a doll that I bought for you. I'm 42 years old. You ruined my business.
Forgive. You have to forgive me. This is a doll." That's child logic, Scrooge.
That may be completely fair, because the other unifying factor of every Christmas Carol story is that they cannot let you know what Scrooge is spending at the end. They have to invent all kinds of currencies. You know what I mean? It's always like, "And there's 3 talents for the duck, and here's 10 crowns, and for this, 60 pence. How much? Nobody knows, dude. He's just chucking coins.
Mm-hmm. 15 million zenny for the biggest, fattest Christmas goose.
Do you accept Doge Chocobo?
A fatter chocobo is my zenny can purchase."
It also occurred to me this year, for the first time, I'm 42 years old, I've watched so many Christmas carols, that the implication of Jacob Marley telling Ebenezer Scrooge that your chain is even bigger and heavier than mine is that there is another end of that, where there is somebody who has committed very minor sins against humanity, who has like a chain of like paper loops or something,
chain.
You know?
Little
and it's
chain.
Like, "Yeah, man, you got to carry this around." And it's like, okay. Yeah. Cool, man.
I got to tell you guys, I swapped roles with Tim Ear this year. The WSAC's own anchor, Tim Ear.
Yeah.
And this year, he's Jacob Marley and I'm Scrooge. Last year, it was reversed.
Okay.
And
so it's like a really slow, like, played out True West kind of thing. Where
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Once
yeah,
a
exactly.
year, we switch. Yeah.
We barely know our own lines, and we kind of barely know each other's lines. No, but he came and he's like, "Justin, check these out." And he holds up his chains, and he is very clearly being brought down by the weight of them. I'm like, "What, Tim, what are you?" He's like, "I went to Huntington Steel." And I told
him,
"I'm
going to
play Jacob Marley. I need chains." And they're like, "Yeah, we can make you some chains." And they made his chains. And it's like such a great commercial for Huntington's own Huntington Steel.
In the words of Laurence Olivier, I believe, try acting. You don't have to, Tim. But then again, Tim gets swole. Because by the end of the run, he takes the chains off and he's dunking over everyone.
So scary.
Last night, here's Tim Ear's dedication to method. Last night is our final rehearsal before the show. Tim Ear is wearing gym shorts, a t-shirt, chains, and a mouthful of green blood that he barfs on me for no reason that I can discern,
this
and with no
awesome.
Warning.
This sounds
this is
like
what
a
it's
good
like
show.
Working with No Fear Tim Ear.
Yeah.
And is it fake green blood or?
It's still on staining the stage of the City Hall auditorium. So hopefully you
Don't
can check
anyone.
It out for yourself.
Did you have to switch roles with him because most of Scrooge's role in the show is to be scared of ghosts? And that is simply not an emotion that Tim Ear is capable of even emulating.
You don't realize how much time. If you're playing Scrooge, you're basically just sad about your girlfriend and like listening to ghosts.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Pretty much it.
That's basically
and you gotta be scared a lot.
And then being in pretty strict denial when Ghost of Christmas Future shows up, and you're like, "Whose grave is that? That could be anybody's grave, right, man? I know that this whole evening is kind of centered around this guy,
right.
So that's just some stranger's grave, right?
I know I'm 75 years old and it's the Dark Ages, but that can't possibly be my grave.
Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge. some stranger, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah?
There's snow all over it
or whatever.
I do this one different. I distract the Ghost of Christmas Future, and then I flee into the audience, and then I become one of them.
Oh,
and
whoa.
Then it becomes kind of an interactive game where you have to find Scrooge.
And one of the audience has to die.
Hey, this is an advice show, and Travis has gathered some of your Candlelight's questions, because it is our holiday still.
We're going to cuss on this. We did our best not during the show, live show, which you can now watch on demand whenever the hell you want to.
This is Candlelights XXX.
That URL is bit.ly/Candlelights2025. You can watch it anytime from now until January 4th on demand at your leisure and ringing the holidays right with us and some of our buddies and family members.
Friends at my school bring in treats and gift bags that represent the special holidays their families celebrate. What types of things should I put in a gift bag for Candle Nights? I am in second grade. That's from Candle Night celebrant Killian.
Ooh, hell yeah. The problem is there's not a lot of props from Candle Nights that can fit in a school bag. A lot of the stuff we deal with is big stuff, big bushes. Very, very, very long candles. That's sort of like
a Buick.
A Buick is part of it. Yeah.
Maybe just bring them a Fortnite. Fortnite is
a Fortnite,
intrinsically
like a card.
Whatever a Fortnite is, just bring them one of those. That's very Candle Nights related. We did do a Candle Nights Fortnite tie-in this year. I think that went through, right?
That go through? I think that might have got held up in development hell.
No.
Or biz dev hell, maybe.
They were too busy with the Simpsons stuff, and they said, sorry, boys, maybe next year. But they've been kicking this can down the road for 4 or 5 years or something.
I got to be honest, Killian, you just got to bring in a bunch of Lick a Maid. You know? It's like, doesn't. I love for you to represent our fake holiday, but you're in second grade and you got a lot of life to live. What you should do is just bring in enough Lick a Maid. Fun dip for everybody. And
that's
if you
awesome.
Give everybody a Lick a Maid fun dip, maybe it's got Christmas tree on it, maybe it doesn't. I don't care. They
doesn't
won't
matter.
Either.
They don't.
They're just going to be so stoked that Killian brought Lick a Maid fun dip.
And maybe a $5 bill in each bag.
Yeah. Well, Killian's not going to bring in a bunch of cash, I don't think. And I'm not sure. Are they still doing Lick a Maid fun dip?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you won't buy your kids cool shit doesn't mean that the rest of us aren't enjoying Lick a Maid fun dip and candy cigarettes.
And Griffin, if you don't have any, I could go around my living room and just kind of shake out my couch cushions to get probably at least 2 packages worth that my children have just left all over the place.
You could also go to any Sitgo in Hurricane, West Virginia, and there are rows and rows of them.
Kid Shaw is Major League Chew. So I guess Lick a Maid is teaching you to chop it up into lines, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think the first guy that had Big Do you think the first guy that tried Big League Chew, he brings it into the dugout, puts a huge wad in, right? And he's chewing. And the other guy's like, cool. That guy's cool. And then he's like still chewing it. They're like, Greg, you have to stop. That's disgusting, dude. You're doing it wrong. And
you're
he's like,
actively chomping it.
It's like, Greg, stop, dude. You're going to get sick.
And then he blows a big bubble, and they're like, wizard!
You made it pink, dude. You screwed up. You're sick.
Is that your gums? Your tongue's expanding rapidly.
Your gums are falling out.
I had an airplane neighbor tuck us in while they were sitting next to me on the flight. And I realized that I don't really know what happens to those in the mouth. I've never done one. I know everyone's pretty wild about these things. Does it just kind of loose leaf tea in there, or
just
does
steeps?
It
park them and let them steep?
So take your second grade classmates a bunch of Zen, I guess.
I wouldn't do any of that. No. Here's the thing, Killian. You can Candle Nights is a pan-religious pan. I don't want to say that part because you're in second grade. Personal pan holiday. It can be whatever you want it to be. Put whatever you want to in this bag. Maybe it's Lick a Maid fun dip. Maybe
stickers.
It's
kids
stickers
love that
if that's
shit.
Your thing. And guess what? That's part of the canon now. It's a big, big umbrella over here.
Do you guys know how many times in the week leading up to Candle Nights, longtime friends and family would came up to me and said, is this something in Candle Nights? And I would have to like really think like, I actually have to go check a Wikipedia page. Excuse me for a second, because it is there's a lot in there, and I have to go look.
We had a night.
Also, it can be PS. Yeah, if you want
sure,
to
it can.
So
anything can
check
be.
It in there.
We had a night where we were picking up some of like the set stuff from the storage facility for is it Heart in the Park or so the outdoor theater, so all these like play props, background, set dressing, and just walking through there with a group of like 20 people and kids and just being like, is this a candle? Here's some boxing gloves. Is this a candle night?
Here's a big green door from the Wizard of Oz when you go in the Emerald City. Is this anything?
Is this something? Here's a whole ass TARDIS. Could this be a candle night?
Oh, the TARDIS was, I felt very, this is a good story. So I built a TARDIS 2 years ago and it went to a fantasy maze thing and then it got stored at that building. And it got buried with sets, and I couldn't get it. But then there was 20 people there at that building, and then I looked at everybody there. I was like, you know what would be so cool in the lobby if you came to Candlelights, and you're wondering why the TARDIS was in the lobby? It is because it was a way station between there and my house.
That's awesome. I wanted it.
That's labor embezzlement, Justin.
Yes, I have smuggled. Oh, God, which reminds me, the clown box is at the building. I have to go get it.
It's at the Keith Albee still?
No, sir. It's at the storage building. I have to go get it and put it in my home.
Maybe leave it there.
You don't have to put it in your home, Justin.
You would love it, right? Imagine, guys, if it was like right here.
I don't.
Here's what you do, Justin. You're going to get the clown box. You're going to put it just out of frame. And then you're going to move it like half an inch a year slowly into frame.
The long game. That's awesome. That's so
well, we're going to be doing this for 100 years.
I'm just wondering how drunk I can get at my work holiday party. They specifically picked Friday so we could start the party at 12 and not have to work after, meaning drinking is allowed at the party. It's a bar/arcade thing. The thing is, I don't really know the people that well at the party. I only work one day a week in person, meaning I do not see these people that much. I would consider us acquaintances. Is that better or worse if I get absolutely tabled in front of them?
I've not heard that before.
In my defense, absolutely tabled is a lot.
Yeah.
In front of them. Partying hard in Pittsburgh is who that's from. Boy. I mean, obviously this answer is going to be different for everybody. You have to know thyself.
Are you a cool hang?
Yeah.
That's a huge one.
That's the real question, right? Because you're not... The question isn't how much alcohol can you put into your body.
Yeah.
It's what level of behavior can you hit and still be cool.
God, that's such a fine line, though, because you have to be... You need those inhibitions, don't you? I mean,
sometimes you need your inhibitions. Don't go out in the rain. It is cold.
Nobody wants to get rained on all the time.
Yeah, you're wet now. Cool.
You're wet now. Great.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What are you going to do about that?
You didn't think about that, did you? Stay inside.
I remember very, very, very distinctly a Halloween party I went to probably 10 years ago in Austin at a friend's house. I was dressed up as Sonic the Hedgehog. And I drank way too much. This is before, you know, we had kids, and my friends were leaving the party, and I pretend to do a spin attack like Sonic does and jumped in their back seat of their car and was like, hey, can you take me home? And then after that, I got out of the car the next morning. I had a thought, which was maybe I'm not a cool hang at a certain degree. And I don't think I ever got that drunk again for the rest of my whole life. That was my Christmas Carol, that event. So if you know the boundaries for yourself, I think go nuts. But I'm also uncomfortable telling anyone to get fucked up or tabled, as you said on this podcast that's being recorded.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the answer here is to just not be the drunkest person there.
Always.
I'm thinking about it. If there's one person that's like going real hard, you can feel pretty comfortable not being. In fact, you may be sort of a median that person needs. You know what I mean? You may need something in the middle that like, you know, I wasn't so terrible. Jerry kind of got a little bit messed up, if memory serves.
Oh, that's nice.
I wasn't all bad.
Yeah, you're a bridge.
No, man. We're all having a lot of fun.
Now, another thing that impacts the answer to this question is like, how good are you at arcade games? Because if you can get really, really fucked up, but if you're hitting swishes on that Connect Four basketball game, like putting them up, no problem, knocking them down, Larry Bird, then I think people are going to sort of talk about you in like a cool way from then on.
Yeah. 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 They as long as you're sinking them. I mean, I think if anything, in the past 20 years, we've learned that like if you are good at athletics, you can basically get away with whatever you want. Anything. So like,
especially if you get better with every drink, it's like, well, their average is going up.
Yeah. They just connected five. Holy shit.
My wife is the equine manager for a university stable. Each year, we help Santa by putting horse treats in each horse's stocking. The student boarders love walking to horse treats from Santa and sharing in the equine holidays. However, sometimes the horses see us helping Santa with the treats. Our question is, how do we make sure the horses continue to believe in Santa and fully understand that we are mere helpers of holiday bliss? That's from your friendly neighborhood, Santa Helpers.
Can I say one of my favorite things, my children watch children's shows because they're children. And I always enjoy when there's an animal-based universe, but still a human Santa. Peppa Pig does this.
And Mickey Mouse does this. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Yeah, no, you can't you can't have like a fox Santa Claus. Like,
no.
That sounds, I'm dog Santa. That's fucking crazy, dude.
That if a horse sees Santa, they're not like, why isn't he also a horse? They're like, no, I get it. That's Santa.
Do you think it's just because they don't, like, parents don't want to reckon with Cat Santa? Like, they don't want to have to deal with, like, the questions. Like, the questions around Santa are already pretty complex. Like, you don't want to have to get into Cat Santa. And
well, with Cat Santa, that's easy to explain because, like, you're not going to see Santa Claus. He's a pretty sneaky dude as a rule. So if that's true, Cat Santa.
Oh, my God.
No one's ever let. This is a creature that is going to be impossible for you to spot.
It would also be really useful if your Christmas tree ever falls over, like during the night, and you're like, "What happened?" Like Cat Santa.
Now, in Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever,
yeah,
okay,
Tartar Sauce, which is the name of the Grumpy Cat,
it's not called. It's not named Grumpy Cat.
No, well, in much
he is
the same
a
way
Grumpy Cat.
Why does he have two names? That's crazy.
Grumpy Cat is a descriptive term.
Yeah. Right, but it's also
my name's
definitely
not Middlest Brother. You know that, right?
No, but you're not a cat. You're not an online cat. You can have as many names as you want. You've earned it. But the cat has a bunch of different
names.
You
don't think Grumpy Cat's earned it?
I've just never heard tartar sauce before, and the thing is not called the Grumpy Cat Tartar Sauce. It's just called Grumpy Cat.
Tartar Sauce is the name of a cat. It performed as Grumpy Cat. It was a character.
It can't be a character or perform as anything. It's a cat with a cat brain that you can train to do little tricks, but he's not Daniel Day-Lewis. He gets one name, and that name's Grumpy Cat.
You fucking tell that to Morris the Cat, to Benji, to Lassie. What are you even talking about, Griffin?
To Lassie. Lassie, the dog Lassie.
Was played by a different dog.
I think they should just call it
In May 2013, Grumpy Cat Limited partnered with Grenade Beverage LLC to market the Grumpuccino iced coffee beverages.
Awesome.
Then, in December 2015, Grumpy Cat Limited filed a lawsuit against Grenade Beverages LLC, citing trademark infringement when the beverage company expanded its line of Grumpy Cat coffee offerings beyond what was originally agreed upon, producing and marketing a Grumpy Cat roasted coffee, ground coffee, even after being told by email that they were not approved to do so. So if you picked up that ground, that ground Grumpy Cat coffee, good news. You got a counterfeit, unlicensed.
I take it back. Grumpy Cat can have as many names as he wants. I don't want Grumpy Cat coming after me in a sort of illegal
That's
arena.
That's right. No Besides, way. Tartar Sauce died in 2019, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, man.
So horses see you delivering presents.
Right.
Okay.
Are you in costume? Are you yourself?
Yeah, there's a question of investment because like you could also just have someone else put these presents in and have them look like elves or whatever if you're worried the horses are going to see you and be like, wait a minute, you live here. You're not one of Santa's helpers.
Because you probably don't have a fireplace and a chimney in the stables, right?
Probably not. That seems like wildly unsafe. There's a lot of hay in there.
So they would have to be delivered inside.
Yeah.
If you'd sold your horses on Horse Santa, then you could have done this with very little worry because they would never assume that a human would help horse Santa. But if they think human Santa and they see you doing, they're going to put two and two together. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to draw their own conclusions. Like, I know it's kind of shitty to assume all humans know each other, but, like, that's how horses are sometimes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel terrible because my first impulse was to think, surely the reindeer are responsible for the horses. But then it's like, why would I assume that?
They are not their brother's keeper. Like, also, who pulls horse Santa's sleigh? Do you think he's been working on that for a while, trying to fit, like, testing out some other... Just nude humans.
Dang, dude.
Nude humans. With...
On
that's
Michael.
Where, if you're truly naughty, so it goes naughty list, Cole. Really naughty, Santa takes presents away. Super naughty, you have to pull horse Santa's sleigh nude in the
you
winter weather.
You are a nude Christmas beast of burden.
And antlers grow out of your head.
Yes. Grow out of you.
It's cool. You become incredibly well endowed.
Wow.
And you have bat wings, huge leathery bat wings.
Hell yeah, actually, hold on. I'm coming around.
Meet the one fey alchemist that can set your heart free this winter. Hearts Ablaze.
Yes.
From Big Giant Head LLC, the romanticy book you've been waiting for.
Won't you guide my heart tonight?
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh my God, yes.
We do them five times.
Yeah.
Only a few of them were the Santa kind.
Get in the sack.
Wink. We don't need it anymore, but let's go to the money zone.
Hoofbeats and heartbeats. Okay, go on.
Damn it!
Damn.
That's good! We're rich!
Damn, Daniel.
Done it again.
Is that a movie?
And he gotta be a Zoc-Doc, don't you? Gotta find the best doctor! Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy, a paid endorser for Zoc-Doc. You know, it can be a real pain in the butt.
We don't say that enough. Sometimes people must think we're just big fans of these companies, but we're paid to talk about them.
Yeah.
No, I'm a paid endorser, but also a client for ZocDoc because I needed somebody to work on my butt. And when I needed the best butt specialist in town, you know where I turn? ZocDoc, because they can help you find doctors that take your insurance, are located nearby, and are a good fit for any medical needs you might have.
Justin,
and it's a free
I
app.
Noticed,
you're not having.
If I could interrupt real quick, I never
interrupt
this.
The ad to say something. Yeah please go ahead.
The speed at which you went from when I needed someone to work on my butt, do you know where I turned, to ZocDoc? There was no air in there. Did you maybe on some level know that Griffin and I might inject some kind of funny punchline there?
Only on this show could professionalism be mistaken for Machiavellian tactics. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no,
yeah,
Travis,
just,
I'm just a fucking pro, and once it starts flowing, it's not stopped unless, I don't know, my younger brother wants to get his fingers all over
not
it.
Me, man. I don't want to get my fingers in your butt at all, Justin.
When I see you in flow state, dude, I just step back. And
well, Kel, what else can you do?
What else can you do? Light up a stogie.
What
and
else
just watch
can
him
I
do?
Do he's on fire again. Okay, listen. ZocDoc.
Yeah.
I forgot. You've like,
shit.
It sucks now. Damn it. Dude. This
you know,
is
when
like,
Justin
this is...
needed someone to work on his butt, do you know where he turned? A mechanic. And I said, Justin, don't do that. Go to ZocDoc. And he did it.
He did. He went to ZocDoc. It's a free app and website where you can search and compare high quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. Gosh, I've done this so many freaking times here in DC. Gosh, it's been a real lifesaver here trying to, just a little guy trying to make it in the big city.
Yeah.
And find somebody to look at his, his polyps and whatever. Thank you, ZocDoc, for helping.
So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother, ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
You know, when I'm looking for ready-to-eat meals in under 2 minutes, there's only one factor I consider, and that's Factor.
That was awesome.
Thank you. Took a lot out of me.
Do you
Factor
really
chef prepped, dietitian approved meals are designed to make it easy to stay balanced and energized through the most indulgent time of the year, which is, I assume, now?
Yes. Can't you tell?
No. I mean, maybe April. I go pretty ham in April.
I'm soaking a foot bath of clarified butter right now. Ooh, that's how I do a decadent holiday.
Unlike meal kits that require prep and cooking, Factor delivers fully prepared, ready-to-eat meals in just 2 minutes. And they've got all kinds of different options in there. Seafood choices like salmon and shrimp at no extra cost. And you can savor global flavors. What? That rhymes.
I'm looking at the menu right now. We got cremini mushrooms and meatballs with cream cheese, potato mash, and broccoli and carrots.
Oh!
That shit looks so very good. I'm looking at Tuscan pesto baked salmon with white beans, spinach, potatoes, and broccoli. These look so delish, guys. Scrummy.
So don't eat
scrummy?
Farts. Yeah. Don't eat farts. Eat smart at factormeals.com/brother50off and use code brother50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code brother50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. This exclusive holiday offer won't last. Lock in your savings before the new year rush. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. I realized that there's stuff we have to read verbatim, but they don't have rules about the two words you can say before you read
before. You can say anything before or after the stuff. So you can say stuff like, I'll tell you guys right now listening at home because you can't see the ad copy. It didn't say don't eat farts.
Yeah.
Travis said that and just like it let it sit, but it's just fine because then he said all the stuff he's supposed to say after that.
Loophole. I like to add stuff into the ad and then see if they update ad copy later for like things not to mention.
It's a fun game, yeah.
In hindsight.
Well, there's no rule that said he couldn't say don't eat farts. So we're going to add that on, but we can't grandfather it in, so.
Hey, Lexus.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half horse, half fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia and hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got four words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Throw your clothes into the fire.
Oh, shit. What?
What? Throw your wine into the tree.
Why?
Put the dog in the closet for a while. That's a Christmas to me. Huh. That's a Christmas to me. That's a Christmas to me. You and me and Greg and Rebecca and a tree.
What? He's flowing, dude.
Flow That's tape. A Christmas to me.
Hi, this is a Christmas.
Fucking
That's a Christmas
chop
to
it
me.
Up,
yeah,
dude.
Man, that was wonderful. Dude, everybody clear that chat.
I realized that I was this incredible game where I have invented some Hallmark movies, but also have included some real plots from Hallmark movies. I realized that I was compromising it by reading them because by reading these plots, I am going to, with my inflection or my, you know, my micro expressions, now that we have video, you're going to be able to tell. So
That's
I'm going
to have to go on.
So I'm going to send you guys the descriptions.
Oh, I see.
And then
we
you're
going to
read them. Okay. And then you two can figure out.
That's smart.
Because you're not going to have me putting any
you know, English.
And then you're going to guess which one's real?
No.
That's I'm weird, not going to. You made them.
I can't participate. That would be wild.
Oh, so then people are going to call in and do like phone polls and stuff no. to guess which.
Travis, you're up.
This is Oi to the World. Premieres Sunday, December 14th. Stars Brooke D'Orsay and Jake Epstein. After a waterline at a temple breaks, the members celebrate Hanukkah at an Episcopal church. But since Christmas Eve falls on the same day, each choir director must set aside their old rivalry and collaborate. There's so much story that comes in there at the end.
Yeah, they sneak a lot of the story in at the end with this one.
Travis, like, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, water main breaks. Okay, they have to go to an... Okay, that's a movie. But then there's an old rivalry between choir directors. That's a Hallmark movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Do you have a guess, Travis?
I don't think it's real.
I know it is actually real. We talked about it on Wonderful last
week.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been compromised by your... Yes, it is real. Oi to the World is a real Hallmark film with Brooke D'Orsay and Jake Epstein, who's had to be having a rough couple of years, but I hope he's hanging in there.
Yeah. I realize that I think I was giving Hallmark too much credit, where I was like, Oi to the World, I don't know, it seems reductive, it seems to be making fun of... Yeah, so that couldn't be real. It is!
No, it is real, it's real.
All right, Griffin, next up.
Let's see, we got... A Limitless Christmas.
I don't want to give... Griffin, sorry, I'm trying to keep my... I'm going to turn off my camera. No, I'll keep my face.
A Limitless Christmas. This and remember, Trav, we got to guess if it's real or not.
Okay.
So this is A Limitless Christmas starring Brad Lee, L-E-E, Cooper, and
I was hoping you would notice that. They were hoping you would notice that.
Clarice Von Wintzberg. President Eddie Mora may have weaned himself off of NZT 48 following the events of Limitless, but when the big man in the North, Can't Say Santa, legal thing, in brackets, finds Blitzen dead and Mrs. Claus, Von Wintzberg, kidnapped, he turns to the only man smart enough to be both naughty and nice.
Oh, he figured out a way.
Production note. Per ongoing litigation with CBS, the events of the Limitless TV series will not be referenced in A Limitless Christmas.
Okay, I was going to ask, yeah.
This is tough, because there have been a lot. We've seen Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. We've seen, you know, Buddy the Elf's Musical Christmas. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that a big Hollywood film would be adapted into a smaller scale.
And of all of them, to get the adaptation, I do think... Limitless is it can't be like a Silver Linings Playbook Christmas.
No.
Because they did actually kind of wrap that one up with a nice little bow.
Well, Limitless, they could do Silver and Gold Linings Playbook, and it's just more about...
Oh, the
UConn
names are
Cornelius.
Great, Trav. I'm saying that they completed the arc. I don't want to touch that world. Leave it. It's perfect.
But Limitless, there's NZT 49, 50, 51.
Yeah. Meat on the bone.
Travis, you're up.
You know, Justin, I do have a sneaking suspicion it's not real.
First, though, I need you two to vote.
I choose to live in a world in which I think it's real.
Oh,
I choose to live in a world in which I think it's real.
No. I want to live in Travis's world, too. It's not, but I want it to be.
Sorry, I made up A Limitless Christmas.
Oh, Travis, damn it. Sorry. Is there another one for me here?
Yeah, it's in Slack. I said it to you directly this time.
Okay. Christmas at the Catnip Cafe. After a marketing executive discovers she's inherited a cat cafe from her aunt, she wants to sell the property so she can afford the down payment on her dream condo. Conflict arises when a veterinarian who owns the other half of the cafe is intent on keeping it afloat. Now, Justin.
Yeah.
We did all watch this movie together in your home. When we came together to record the
Watch
Candlemas.
Is an interesting verb to use there, Travis. It was maybe more than any other film I've ever watched, just kind of happening around.
It was incidental.
Me. Yeah. It was.
We
it was
did,
just
the, didn't we? Yeah.
It was like watching a movie from someone sitting two rows in front of you, catty corner on the aisle of an airplane.
It was like watching a movie that someone else is watching in the movie that you're watching.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
So I do think it's real, J-Man.
It is real. It's real? Also, it's so obvious that some maker of these fine holiday films ran out of things that to do holiday films about, and then like their nephew told them about cat cafes, and they're like, I can Christmas that up. I can Christmas that up for sure.
A little bit.
Cat cafe, veterinarian, hot veterinarian, good to go. Yeah, that's not...
Well, it's three hoppers set up. Small town something...
Yeah,
meets big town something at a blank.
Right.
So what did you think? Real?
That we watched it together.
All right, Griffin, you're up.
This is a Grand Ole Opry Christmas. It premieres Saturday, November 29th. And a lot of these names I'm not going to do goodbye, but here we go. It stars Nikki DeLoach, Christopher Palaha, Rob Mays, Eliza Mayer, Luke Binward, Sharon Lawrence, and James Denton. That's a huge cast. Why are there that many names above the...
Great question. I just kept writing them.
Old question.
Plot. With plenty of appearances from famous country artists like Brad Paisley, Megan Maroney, Rhett Atkins, and more, this Hallmark holiday movie tells the tale of a songwriter who abandons her passion after her late father, a country music icon, dies in a tragic accident. But when the Grand Ole Opry asks her to honor her father's legacy, she time travels back in time when her father was still alive. I had it locked in until those last two little bits there. She time travels back in time when her... What is that? The Grand Ole Opry says, will you please honor your father's legacy in a holiday concert? And she travels back in time to when her father was still alive?
That's not unused.
It's a lot of SFX, I think, budget. A big special effects budget.
Damn, man. I didn't expect a real hard one to slip in here, because I don't know.
I want to say it's fake, because I think they would have called it, like, Grand New Opry, or had some play on time travel in the title.
I'm going to say it's real, just because the fact that it came out November 29th feels really out of pocket to me.
It's real. That's a real Grand Ole Opry Christmas. It's a real film.
What is the vehicle through which she travels back in time? I'm curious.
It's a Cadillac Seville. 1967 Cadillac Seville that has the gigawatt stuff back to the future.
It just has the Back to the Future stuff.
It just has the back. It says the doctor, Doc Brown, his name is in it. He's like, it's got the stuff from Back to the Future.
Yeah, we put all the gigawatts in it.
I love that. I think they did that in Looper too, when they like, we don't want to explain all the time travel stuff. It's Back to the Future stuff.
Yeah.
I watched one
that was another time travel one that was a 90s Christmas. Because I was hoping it would have lots of fun 90s gags, but I realized you have to pay for those. So it's really just kind of like ugly. You know what I'm saying? It just looks old and bad. But the film takes place in 1999.
Huh.
And she is sent back to try to save a relationship that she didn't nail back then and make everything good with her life. She's sent back in time to 1999.
Then why not call it like WHY2K?
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, Trav, the thing that she doesn't do, you know, the thing that I would...
Any movie where you time travel back before, let's say, the turn of the millennium.
Yeah, before, September 10th, 2001.
Anywhere from there before.
99, I feel like you have to ask the question. At least someone has to be like, you can't change this. Like, you gotta do something, right?
You
like,
should at least do wink something. At it.
I need someone to reboot Quantum Leap specifically for every time Sam Quantum Leaps before September 10th, 2001. The first thing he says is like, so I've gotta be here for this reason, right, Al? And Al's like, no, not this time. And he's like, no, Al.
You want me to?
It's gotta be this, right?
You need me to help this lounge singer become super famous? That's cool and all, Al. Can I write a letter or something to the president now?
Last one, Travis.
Okay. Fuck, my husband is a ghost. It stars Jennifer Stanton and Everly Westlane. As the Christian Bible teaches,
awesome.
Jennifer, name thing is coincidence, has waited until marriage to experience physical pleasure with her new husband. But when she smooshes through his ectoplasm on their wedding night, she realizes that Beauregard T. Wainscoting the second is in fact not an extremely dedicated Civil War reenactor, but indeed the ghost of an actual Civil War general. Bad news, ladies, he fought on the wrong side. P.S. The events of the film take place on December 21st through 27th, but are not substantially festive.
Okay. It just happens to be set around the
I think that's
season.
What I understood while I was reading it, that it just happens to be set. So it's not, it seems like they kind of made the whole movie and then forgot to make it about Christmas.
Yeah.
And maybe they just kind of were like tying in a Christmas thing at the end.
It sounds like they have their work cut out for them to turn this guy into a heartthrob.
Yes. Now, I do like that the title would imply that the biggest problem to overcome is that he's a ghost. And don't get me wrong, that is definitely a hurdle that's
huge
in
problem.
There.
But there's some ideological stumbling blocks. That I think would also get in the way.
Now, so he has had like 160 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's what surprised me about watching it, that there is a lot more going on. Darn it. Shouldn't have let that slip that I watched it.
Oh. Well, Justin, since you watched it, can you tell me, does Beauregard T. Wainscoting II have a moment where he's like, and also I feel really bad about having
about all this, that stuff.
He leads with that. Like, yeah, that is the thing he's like, listen,
there's a lot of cards I gotta lay out on the table right now.
It'd be awesome
I'm gonna say something to you first that out of context is gonna seem strange, but you have to understand something right up front, and then we'll get to the ghost stuff.
I actually was visited by three ghosts last night, but it was just kind of like a chill hang, because that's sort of my whole vibe.
My thing. So what do you guys think?
I don't actually think this is real. I think you didn't watch it, and I think you're fibbing to try and trick us into a trap.
I'm going to have to side with Griffin here. Griffin makes a really convincing argument. I don't think it's real.
Yeah, it's fake. I made it up. It's damn not real. It. Awesome. Yeah, it's not real. I had fun doing it, but...
I'm glad.
Yeah, I had fun to do.
Hearing it.
Yeah,
I liked saying smooshes through his ectoplasm.
Travis, when I wrote that, I really felt like I had done something for the day. You know, I felt really good about myself. Yeah, man.
Is that describing a sex act with a ghost?
Yeah, that's how I imagined the first time. I thought about, it was a Black Mirror thing where it was like, what if you did wait till marriage, but then when you smooshed into your partner, you found out that they're a ghost for the first time, right?
Dude,
then.
Yeah.
Was he also waiting till marriage that he didn't know that would happen?
He knew 100% it would happen.
Like, so she 100%. Smooshed through his ectoplasm, then he handed her a book that said, like, let me explain the fact that I am both a ghost and...
Man, I've wanted to talk to you about this for a long time.
He was oath-bound, so he couldn't tell her his true nature because he had sworn an oath to the Avellian gods.
That
he
to Robert E. Lee.
And to Robert
true
E. Lee.
True love waits.
Who throughout the whole movie is like, but I will say, Lee was a cool
a lot of apologetics.
Dude.
And those statues of him are really good art.
They're good anything, statues.
It's
but,
history,
but,
Debbie. But. Debbie, it's history. But I understand. But I do want to say, I get it. What are they going to do with those statues, though? Now that they're down.
No one wants to see art go to waste, Deborah.
I'm just saying. I got a big kind of gazebo thing in the back of my, I believe I'm supposed to call it now, an estate. I'm not allowed to say the plantation. No, I almost said it.
Deborah, do you not wish to provide a place for the pigeons to roost? Shouldn't the sparrows be able to rest their wings somewhere, Deborah? Why not our backyard and our huge commemorative statue of my good friend, who I do not like?
He has some positions that I do not share.
We can put a sign up that says ironic, if that makes you feel better.
A small sign, of course, in case the general...
Yeah,
his ghost,
he comes around sometimes.
He may come by. Listen, if Robert E. Lee Ghost comes by, you have to promise to be cool, Deborah.
And you're probably wondering what other ghosts there are. Just us two.
Just us two.
Just me and Robert E. Lee.
It's wild.
You would think not a bad setup for you. Only he only speaks in riddles, Barbara.
And he hasn't come around to maybe issues the way I have.
Yeah, we found this weird old cave on a full moon, Barbara. There was a coin, and we each touched it, and now here we are.
Basic science.
I wrote Pirates of the Caribbean. A true story based on my life.
But do I get any credit?
Do I get a single thin dime? No, that's why I'm selling my life story. Fuck, my husband's a ghost. Thank you.
Based on a true story.
My story. My personal story.
Could you also type it out for me? Because I'm unable to interact with your typewriters and computers and whatnot. Shall we smoosh again, my love?
My neighbors have added a new feature to their exterior holiday decor this year, a 12-foot tall, bright, white wooden reindeer. I have to drive by it to get to and from work, and it scares the heck out of me. Wow. Sorry, I scrolled down. It's really big. Any suggestions for ways to make myself braver so I don't get jump scared twice a day when I go by it? That's from Concerned About Comet in Cleveland. I mean, it's a big...
Guys, this reindeer is bigger than one story of a house. It is bigger than a ranch-style home. It's dramatically lit. It is also lit, fam. No, but if I saw
this thing, and I want to start circle strafing with a plasma rifle. This thing means trouble.
They have also placed it as though it is considering breach and containment.
Yeah, yes, that's a really. It has its chest stuck out proudly, as if to say, "I'm gonna jump this fucking candy cane."
It is. It's also away from the home. It's not welcoming to the home. It's standing as a proud guard.
Retreating. Yes.
You know there's a community, I think it's Norway maybe, where every year they build a giant wicker Christmas goat and they try to guard it every year, and yet every year someone manages to set fire to it and burn it to the ground.
It's a game. It's a fun game for kids. Guard the goat.
I'm just saying.
I don't think you should burn this 12-foot tall bright white reindeer.
Not with all those lights on, for sure.
Despite the fact that it would go up so nice.
And it would go up really cool. It would look
wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah. They're just this thing. Look at this thing. It's like a lamp. It looks like one of those paper lanterns. It's just dying to go up.
It's just dying. It wants to.
I'm not even a pyromaniac, and I'm
no, I don't love
the idea.
But
over here. Don't do it.
Don't do it, obviously. But it will make it easier for Santa Claus to find their house to land and make presents.
It is wild that we didn't get a question like this in Halloween. This person must have a really tough time then, right? If they're getting scared by big reindeer, that's got to be tough to see like big scarecrows with skull heads all the time.
At least then, Justin, you're able to know and read in the intention of the thing, right? I see a big scary scarecrow. I know exactly why it's there. It's there to scare me. I see this thing. This thing don't have no eyes or mouth or nothing. There is no emotion conveyed, so I'm able to read, like, place upon this thing any emotion that I feel when looking at it.
And this thing looks like it's been oriented this way because ley lines pass through it. It's scary. I would push it over 3 times because with my decorations, that's all it takes for me to decide they're never going up again.
Okay.
If the wind,
so one time they could one be like, time, it that's was the wind. Me. Yeah.
Second time, that's just life. Third time, fuck this thing.
Yeah, that's too tall.
Too tall, too stupid. Fuck it.
You could also, I'm looking at the height of this thing relative to the house that it's decorating, sneak under cover of night, lift it up, reorient it so it's staring into the second floor window.
Cool.
Of their own house.
That's cool.
And I think they'll make the decision to take it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We call it My Brother and Me because that's the name of it. And anything else would seem kind of silly. Thank you to everybody that came to Candle Nights. You had the beautiful Keith Albee Theater. It was a wonderful event. You were all so kind to come. If you didn't see it, you can go to bit.ly/CandleNights2025. You can still watch it till January 4th. And I think that you're really going to like it.
I know you're really going to like it.
I know you're really going to like it.
Also, wanted to let everybody know, because of the holiday season, us and our staff, we're going to be, you know, taking a break for the holidays like we do. So
Thank God, dude. I'm exhausted. Okay. I mean, candlelight's really takes, it does take you out.
Yeah. And so we're going to take a break.
You had to move a whole TARDIS.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still bushed.
I don't know how the doctor does it. But we'll be back January 5th, back tickling your funny bones.
Gosh, that was a gross way to say
it. Yeah, I know. I felt bad about it.
There's some merch up in the merch store over at macroymerch.com. Got a dice tray and dice tray bundle with some beautiful Taz Balance dice. There's also Candlelight's poster and Candlelight's ornament designed by Scott Hawk. That is up there. And 10% of all of our merch proceeds this month will be donated to Harmony House, as will 100% of the proceeds from the ticket sales for Candlelight's, both the live version and the streaming on-demand version. So help support Harmony House. Sure. How about this fear? And I think this will probably be our last... Is this our last fear of the year? Last fear of 20 Thunder Drive, and it's a real... This one's a real one. Start your engines. This year, I want to be faster than my fear of cracking an egg and a baby bird falling out.
God. Oh, God, that hits deep. I've had
never
that
happen
a lot.
To me. Never happened to me still.
It's never happened, but like I think about it.
Yeah, of course
I still think about when I got a double yoker. Oh, God.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Double yoker was the name in France for Joker, Folie à deux, which is weird because you would think they would just use that.
Yeah.
But they used double yoker instead. And it's like, there's not two...
You are the double yoker!
Why not just call it Folie à deux? Like,
Mon
why
Dieu.
Did you...
the double joker! He is thrown again!
It's crazy. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy. Did I say that? Yeah.
My
yeah,
brother, my brother, he hits your dad square on the lips.
Double yoker.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.